Welcome to the Financial Coconut Podcast Network, the leading personal finance podcast network in Singapore. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your chief financial coconut, and every Tuesday you will be spending more time with me. And sometimes I will be bringing some friends along as I take you through various leading ideas that I find interesting and worthy of your time in the personal finance world today. I've decided to call this segment First Dibs, hoping that you and I can get first dibs on these leading ideas.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey Coconut, so yes, recently I've been doing a lot of BD work. Yes, now it's me, I go meet client and all that. Very tiring, very shag, right? So it is what it is, you know. And as I met a lot of the chief investment analysts and a lot of the people that work in the financial space, a lot of people are on some level expecting a recession to come. Okay, and this is not inside secrets. You can see from their sentiment, all the polling online and all that. And I'm not here to say, oh, definitely it will happen or it will not happen, or like we're not trying to make a prediction on these things, right? But it does look like every time when there's a lot of big changes with interest rates and all that, you know, there is a tendency for these things to happen. So there is some basis to be concerned about. And recently, of course, you see some of the banks having some problems. While I don't think the whole financial system will collapse, right? Because I think the big guys are just going to eat it up. And the US government is not stopping at trying to dampen that problem and maintain it. Right? So I don't think that will cause the collapse of the system, but it can potentially drive a recession. Right? The system don't need to collapse. There's just enough people willing to pull out. Then, you know, it will cause a recession, right? And shit can happen, right? So all that jazz, lah, right? It's in a mess. I get it. It's hard. So not here to predict, but I feel like all of us should maybe recap a little bit and be a little bit more ready, lah, a little bit more ready. So in the next few weeks, you should see more recession type content, and I'm gonna start with resharing one of the first dips that I did with Brian from 3 Forever Financial Freedom. That is his blog, right? So can go and check it out. 3 Forever Financial Freedom. If I was him, I would tell him to rebrand a little bit, right? The 3 in front is like, you know, but it's okay. This is his platform, not my platform, say, right? So I'm not going to help him to rebrand. But he did come on to share some very interesting insights, or at least what he thinks millennials can do, right? Especially his point number 3. I was like, wow, really? You're trying to tell millennials to explore this? Right? So stay tuned all the way to the end and let me know if there are certain personal finance advice that you have. Please come to our community Telegram group and share with us. Right, and yeah, stay tuned, lah. We're going to be pushing out more recession type content, not to scare you, but just for all of us to be a little bit more aware. Are there certain opportunities we can do, certain things we can play around, what can potentially happen and all that, right? So yeah, welcome back. So good morning, everyone. I welcome you to another day with Financial Coconut. In our podcast, we're debunking financial myths, discovering best financial practices, and discussing financial strategies that fit our unique life. You get it. Ultimately empowering us to create a life we love while managing our finances well. I am your host, Reggie, aka your chief financial coconut. And today we are going to spend time with Brian to talk a little bit about some of the millennials' financial strategies to get through this recession together. Hard times, hard times. So maybe before we begin, you can introduce yourself a little bit, you know, to our audience that don't know you and all that.
Yeah, sure. So thanks for hosting me on the show. Happy to be here. My name is Brian. So I was from Indonesia, actually. So But I went to Singapore for a very long time, and I stayed here for many, many years. So I have now actually converted to a Singaporean.
Okay.
So yeah.
Welcome to the group.
Thank you. So I mean, like everyone else, I work as an employee here in Singapore in the travel industry. I also at the same time co-write a financial blog called the 3 Forever Financial Freedom, which sort of chronicle my entire journey right from when I started working about like 10, 12 years ago until today. So that's basically
3 Forever Financial Freedom. Why 3?
Yeah, because I was thinking what's a good name, right? And I think in the US, people were talking about FIFI, right? So financial independence. So I wanted to be, you know, like sort of slightly different. So I call it like financial freedom instead. Yeah, and I wanted to make it like, kind of a synonym 3F because they are like FFF, right? So,
okay. 3F. Okay, fair point. How long have you been writing? I think for our listeners that don't really know you yet.
Sure. Yeah, I've been running for about 12 years now.
Damn, bro, that is a super long running project.
Exactly, man. I think there were so many times when I wanted to quit, like, I wanted to take a break. There or some ideas just couldn't flow out of my head, right?
I know. Trust me, I know.
Exactly.
So, I want to quit so many times. Yes.
But I think it's good that, you know, until today, managed to keep it running and to see that progress, right? I mean, if I read my own articles today for the few years which I have written much earlier, it's obviously a journey. I can see that I'm growing. I mean, not just in terms of the financial aspect, but in terms of the mindset and the entire journey before I got married, and then before I got a kid, and then now I'm a family man and things like that. So hopefully, you'll be around for the next 10 years as well.
Yeah, for sure. And then your kid can take over, and then, you know... And then things compound, right? And then it continues.
Hopefully so.
Yeah, but for all of you listening, I decided to get Brian on the show because of the blog, right? So I actually came across a few of the articles. I was like, yeah, it looks pretty good, right? So there are a lot of good juices. So for all of you tuning in, you should check out his blog. But specifically for today, I think we wanted to spend some time to talk about how millennials, right, can double down on this current recession situation. So there's a very specific parameter here, right? Millennials first, right? So maybe Brian, you can kick us off, like, what's so special about this group called millennials?
Yeah, I think the thing about millennials today, right, especially in today's cost of environment, high inflation, high cost of living is rising.
Wait, are you a millennial first?
I won't consider myself a millennial anymore.
So you're on the tail end, you're an elder millennial, elder one.
Exactly, I'm at the tail end.
Okay, not that it's a good thing,
but but at least I can totally see the difference, the stress level, right? Every one of us used to be a millennial, myself included. And today, looking back at millennials right now, they're facing a much more kind of pressure and environment, right? So a lot more difficult to get jobs, and especially in this tough, so-called like almost potentially recessionary market. So not easy to get a job, not easy to secure a good job, and your pay is not rising as much, but everything else, the cost of living is rising, including housing, right? So yes. What can you say?
Yes. Someone was telling me Yakun is at what, $6.20 now or something like
exactly.
that?
Exactly. Crazy, right?
I was like, oh my goodness. When someone shared me a photo, I was like, are you in London? It's like, no, it's like Singapore price. I was like, oh, crazy stuff.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So I think millennials, like you said, right, it's in a very awkward situation. We go through a lot of cycles and just happens to be one of the very horrid situations. So specifically to all of you listening in, which most of our listeners are millennials, we know where you're at. Okay, we know we're vibing here. Yeah, we're vibing here, right? So with that as the backdrop, Brian, what is the first point that you have for us? How should we play this current recession?
Yeah, I think these recessionary times are very stressful times, right? Not just for each individual, like you and me, but also for companies worldwide, right? So basically, everyone just trying to sort of tough it out these 1 to 2 years and then, you know, see how it plays out. As an individual, I think, you know, going through a bear market or a recessionary times is a very stressful times, right? So the one thing that I wanted to make, you know, keep myself sane, at least, is to at least get my income ongoing. So for me personally, because I work for a company, so I do receive regular monthly income. And that helps a lot. I mean, not just from the dollars and cents, but in terms from your emotional set, right? The fact that you know you got that regular paycheck coming in during these tough times are going to help a lot, even in your investing in these times. Obviously, cost of living is rising a lot. So, you know, your bills never stops coming, right? It's not that it's a recession and then suddenly your electricity bill is going to come down. In fact, it's gone up, right? So, you know, the fact that you have this regular...
It's always going up, just saying.
Exactly.
It never comes down. Oh, always go up. Always got reason to adjust up. Never, exactly. Ever comes down. Yes, yes. But so what I'm hearing is to stay employed, right? Essentially get an income. So are you telling us to not do the great resignation thing?
Well, I think the great resignation thing was not too long ago a very popular idea, right? Where people just wanted to...
It's still a popular idea. You know? It's still ongoing. It's still happening. Yeah. I think still a lot of people are doing it.
Yeah. I think to be fair, a lot of opportunities out there, right? We're not just talking about one source of income where you directly have to, you know, get your source of income from just being an employee. I think these are times where you can actually make money a lot, you know, everywhere as long as you work hard. Make money off YouTube videos, short videos or podcasts. Or even just writing.
I would say it's a lot harder, you know, but it's a lot harder than what you think it is. But yes, yes. Okay. Interesting. So what about your own experience? I mean, you went through great financial crisis. You went through, we all went through the COVID situation. So how is staying employed, you know, helping you to all these recession times?
Yeah, I think my own story came from the fact that I actually graduated right at the depth of the great financial crisis. So I graduated back in 2008. So that was when the entire global financial crisis unfolded, right? So I had actually quite difficult times back then securing a job. I went for, like most others, I went for many, many interviews, you know, applied for many jobs, but got very little in return, right? So I took about like 4 or 5 months to secure a job. And from then on, even there were pay cuts, there were no bonus, there were no increments. So everyone was just basically staying during that times to float. And to float around to make sure that, you know, in the next few years, you can still survive, the company can still survive and grow from there. Yeah, and also not so long ago, I think we all faced that COVID situation, right? In 2020, when a lot of companies as well were affected. So myself included, I think even my income were also being cut 30-40% for about 6 months or so. It's, I mean, not as bad as others who obviously lost their jobs totally, right, and cannot find a new one. But still, to have your monthly income suddenly cut by 30-40% is like no joke.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Your bills are not like going off by 30-40%. So it's really stressful time, but I'm glad that, you know, we went through that one. I went past it, managed to get stronger. And I mean, the entire thing is just about mentally going through these difficult times. And once you pass this, you will look back in good memory.
Can you help me elaborate a little bit? Because when people talk about staying employed, rarely do I hear this whole like mental side of things. You know, like how, you know, which I think is interesting because there's a lot of studies around, you know, having something repetitive, right? To keep you kind of going to it. Right? So I maybe that's where you're coming from. I want to hear your viewpoint on like, how is staying employed keeps you sane or like, you know, keeps you strong through this process?
Sure. Yeah. I think the fact that you have things to do, right? You have work to do, gives you a lot of...
But now you have kids to take care of, so there's a kid.
Exactly.
As I hear your kid. Is that your kid?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
So I mean, being able to stay employed, I think, gives you a very strong mental fortitude, right? Because at the end of the day, every one of us have 24 hours. I know we have families, we have things to do, passion, hobbies, right? But to be able to have that productivity, you know, the fact that you keep your brain and productive and your mental state ongoing, especially during these recessionary times, is very important because you keep yourself up to date with whatever the companies are doing, right? So you also learn. You also don't just like do your work and that's it. You grow over time with the company. You sort of like grow your resume and things like that. So you gain all this experience by actually doing difficult work. And these difficult works usually come from difficult environment like today.
very interesting point. Don't really hear people talk about, you know, how having work keeps you sane. Yeah, okay. So that's great. And I think for a lot of us listening in that you think like, oh, maybe it's recession. I want to take a break. I don't want to do nothing else. You know, if that is what you are pursuing, I think it's also fair. But from a personal experience of someone that has kind of like traveled around for a prolonged period, right? Suddenly being thrown into a situation where you don't really have a lot of things to do may not be the healthiest either. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a little bit of transition here and there. Just be conscious about it and kind of pace yourself. Okay. So thank you for point number one. And now let us go to point number two. How should a millennial play this recession?
Sure. I think the second pointers will be more towards a little bit more on the investing side, right? And at the end of the day, we want to take advantage of these recessionary times, right? And a bear market in a tough environment like today is your best bet for your longer term ROI return on your investment. Especially if you are a millennial, your time horizon is a much longer runway than anyone else. You should definitely look forward to these times from an investment point of view because you have a much longer runway.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay, yes. So accumulating every interval essentially is on the investment side of things, right? Point number two, right? Expand a little bit this for us.
Sure. Yeah. I think the easiest way to come and tackle a bear market without getting more emotionally invested in yourself is by investing at regular intervals. I know this sounds almost like a very boring advice, right? But to be able to regularly put off your emotion aside, put off all the bear market news that you read and watch on social media and things like that, takes a very strong courage and effort more than what anyone else thinks. So to be able to put your sum of money regularly during a particular interval, it can be once a month or it can be twice a month or once in 2 months, up to you, right? But the point that I'm trying to say is that if you do this consistently, you put your emotions out of the entire picture, and once the entire bear market runs out over the next, let's say 1, 2, 3 years, you will be able to put yourself in much very strong positions when the next cycle comes in.
I think a lot of people have already heard something along these lines, right? Like invest and, you know, acquire at the bottom, blah, blah, blah. So to expand on the discussion, right, what is your experience like in terms of acquiring, you know, during bad times? How does it really work in practice for you, right? From an emotional, from a strategic standpoint, all that.
Sure. Yeah, because I think in investment, a lot of people, I mean, everyone, in fact, like you want to be able to sell your investment at the higher, right? And then you want to be able to re-enter back when the market bottoms, right? So that's what everyone wants.
Yeah, sounds so good, yeah.
Exactly, it sounds good to be true, right? So, and funny thing is that everyone thinks they can do that, right? Everyone thinks they can nicely time the market at the high and then rebuy the market at the low, but
especially the professionals, right? I mean, that's why,
okay, exactly.
Especially that's why they call themselves a professional.
The fund managers and professionals, mm-hmm. right? And even themselves, the smartest people of all these banks and investment bankers, they didn't get it right all the time. In fact, I think if you look at a lot of fund managers' record, which tends to go in and out, tends to lack a person who is basically just putting in regular intervals money at S&P 500 over the long run, right? And you can do that by easily without putting a more emotionally invested in things like that. Because the fact that you're trying to time the market by selling at the high, rebuying at the low, it's extremely stressful process, right? Because you have to constantly keep up with the news, the media, the noises from your friends. And it's just so tiring. And at the end of the day, you have to get your two timing correct. One is at the selling, and one is at the buying, right? And it's never easy to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what I'm hearing also, you're talking a lot about, you know, this whole like buying the broad base, right? Or like you know, it's S&P 500. Essentially, is the broad base of the American index, right? So for our listeners, you know, there's a whole spectrum of people, right? Some people are like stock pickers, and some people will be more like broad base, you know, more index funds. You know, what are your thoughts? You know, cannot say advice. Advice very contentious. Mm. what are your thoughts around this? So let's say I want to accumulate. Okay, during hard times. Especially during tough times, right? Good times, you buy whatever, stone throw away, you also make money. Right? So during, during tough times now, what would you accumulate, or how would you, how would you do it?
Sure. Yeah, I think the global index funds, right, like you mentioned, the S&P or the global emerging market ETFs, it's a very safe bet over the long run, right? I mean, you still have to segregate your portfolio allocation. You don't put like 100% in one basket, right, obviously. But, you know, especially if you don't go too much into investing or investing yourself, you don't want to invest a lot of time in all this aspect, these ETFs are basically your best bet. You will never go wrong with, you know, index fund like S&P 500 because it basically consists a lot of multinational companies basket at one go, right? Of course, if you like a little bit more work in depth, deep dive a little bit into companies and you enjoy this part of your research analysis, then you can, of course, go into a little bit more stock picking. And this is where all the fun part comes in, right? Because, you know, some companies may give you much better return than S&P, but vice versa, right? You can get like a lot worse return. So you get your good and bad, and yeah.
Okay, so it's not a situation where during harder times, people should just buy the index, you know, or it should be a situation where you just stick to what you believe in and what you're good at. So, you know where I'm coming from? Like, is it because now it's a bad time? So, okay, instead of picking, why not just take the whole thing, you know? And then,
exactly.
Yeah, is there something like that, or just stick to your plan?
For me personally, I think it's the S&P, for example, it never goes wrong, right? It's a bulletproof plan, whether during good times or bad times, at least. For stock picking, it's a little bit more tricky because in bad times like right now, for example, a lot of companies, some of the potentially strong companies, their fundamentals may get structurally affected. And if you're not careful about doing more in-depth analysis on that particular company, you may get a longer-term mode which might be affected, right? So we all know, for instance, Netflix used to be a very strong player, right? But recently, because of the competition, because of valuation and the environment today, they are facing quite a bit of tough journey in the next 3 to 5 years, for instance. So you do have to do more homework, I would say, on each particular companies than, let's say, an index fund.
Okay, fair, cool. And tangential question, are you concerned about the US dollar? You know, because the people are talking about, oh, if the US dollar is going to no longer be the reserve currency, and then that will shake essentially the whole US financial structure, right? If the whole thing gets devalued, you know, are you concerned about something like that?
Not right now. Probably because I know the USD has been going very strong recently. In fact, Euro and many other currencies are going the other direction. But yeah, but I think US will still play a very strong role, US dollars, in the next few years. I know a lot of people are talking about China as the next superpower and, you know, the next reserve of currency and so on. But I think in terms of from a structural point of view, there are still a lot to be done from China to convince the world, you know, otherwise.
Okay, good point. Which brings us to point number 3, and what is the third strategy for all of us?
Yeah, so the third strategy is actually another strategy which kind of complement point number 2, which is to do regular intervals on your investment. But this one goes a little bit more slightly in depth for more, I would say, experienced investors or investors who like to learn a little bit more, especially options, right? So for options, basically, without going into very technical, the entire idea of option is basically to also average in your price at regular intervals at the price that you are basically comfortable at. So for instance, a very easy example would be, let's say if Apple is trading at $100 today, and you don't think that $100 is good enough or at least safe enough, maybe you want to enter it 10% lower at, let's say, $90, options actually allow you to have that strategy to allow you to wait for Apple price to go down to $90. But at the same time, it will pay you what it costs, like a premium in return for you to wait. So while basically the entire idea is while you are waiting for Apple to price to drop to $90, you are basically getting a little bit of money from the other sellers.
Mm-hmm. Help us expand a little bit, because I think options is, firstly, it's a derivative. So there's a lot of other strategies that people play with depending on what are their goals, right? So what is this particular option strategy that you are thinking of and that you think is worth the discussion?
Sure. Yeah, I agree. Like, I think options has a lot of have a very basic or complex strategies, right? Depending on how you use them. And I think one caveat to mention is options is never as safe or risk-free as many people would put it that way. Like in a bull market, people will just say option is like free money, right? Risk-free, free money. Everyone is making money. But it is not as easy as that. You still have to have that very strict discipline to use option as to complement your longer term strategy in order to do that. So one strategy which I use personally for myself is what we call the option wheels strategy, which is a selling put strategy to buy in. And once I own that mothership position, I usually will take the other opposite end of direction. I will then sell my call position in order to wait for the price to be able to buy and sell. So technically, what is that complements from everyone's traditional strategy is basically the same. We want to buy low and sell high, right? And option wheel strategy complements that by similarly asking you to buy low and sell high. But they will pay you the premium for buying low, for waiting to buy low, and for you to wait to sell high.
Mm, okay. Can you help us elaborate a little bit on like what is the... You know, every strategy sounds perfecto, right? On the game, right? But what is the potential like downside that this thing can happen?
Yeah, I think the potential downside is you have to look at it from a risk point of view. So obviously, option is not as risk-free as many people would have thought. If things go out of your way, you can have margin call, especially if you don't have cash, for example, to buy that particular share when you get called, right? And then, of course, secondly, is that one drawback with option is also because it works on a minimally 100 shares, so one contract, which is equivalent to 100 shares of the US shares. So some companies like Tesla or maybe Booking.com, 100 shares, it means like it's hundreds of thousands at one go. So no joke, like you, if you get called in, basically you have to have 200, 300,000 to buy Booking.com or even to buy Alphabet, right? So you just have to make sure you cover yourself and have the cash to be able to cover yourself. And not play this just purely on margin.
Okay, cool. And I think for this particular strategy, it's quite well documented out there already. But if you want more specific, ideas or how this is done, you can always check out Brian's blog. All right. So in closing, is there any other thing you want to share with us, aside from these 3 points, specifically to the millennials trying to overcome this very hard times when Yakun Kaya Toast is 6:20? Tell us.
Yeah, I think one strategy which I have embedded in my blog, right, is right when I started working. I think I always put it as three levers. So my potential three levers will come from number one, source of income. Obviously, you want to grow your source of income as many as high as possible from as many sources as possible, right? Number two, my second lever would come from your savings, right? It doesn't matter how high you earn, but if you spend a lot, it kind of destroys your entire team. So point number two, levers number two would be on savings. You should have, as a millennial, I think you should aim for minimally 50% of your savings rate, especially if you are still single and doesn't have a family. And then
speaking from experience after transiting to become a family man.
Just goes all the way.
Everything gone. Hey, where's my savings?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then levers number three would then come from your investment, basically compounding return and how to grow your money over time. So I think these three levers, ideally, you should be good in minimally two out of the three. The best is, of course, three out of the three. But if you're only good in one out of the three, that will kind of spell trouble, especially if you don't even have zero, if you have zero out of the three, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter if you earn a very high income, but if you don't know how to save, you don't know how to compound your return, you'll not do as good as it is.
Yeah, but we all start somewhere. So yes, let's see how to keep improving together. Okay, so thank you for joining us today. And thank you all you coconuts for tuning in today on this new format that I'm trying called Facilitated Monologues, right? Where it's not just me, friends of the show to come on the show to share with you more. So anything more you want to read from Brian, check out 3foreverfinancialfreedom.com. Link is in the description below. Thank you, Brian. See you. Bye.
Thank you, Reggie. Thanks all. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Wow, I come to realize that I actually recorded this with him while I was in Paris, right? I was stuck in COVID, and I had COVID, and then I was like, oh my God, Brian, I'm not sure if I can record with you, but I'll try, right? Because my voice was essentially dead lah. So as you can tell, I should insure my voice. So, but yeah, this was in Paris. Now I am back in KL. So, wow. The world moves very fast. Huh? Or is it just me? I just jump around a lot. Huh? And if you love today's episode, I think in our repertoire, there are a few other episodes that were really, really aligned with this whole recession thing. Like on First Dips, we have 168, you know, which is about why growth stocks collapse during a recession. And also, I think I did talk a little bit about, you know, what are certain things I'm taking advantages of, which on some level did pay out on 152. So TF's First Dips 152. So you can go and check out some of the older episodes. Hopefully it helps you, right? And from time to time, I reshare episodes, of course, to help me buy time, because I got a lot of things to do, right? But at the same time, we have so many episodes. It's very hard for you to discover to everything. So I hope you find today's episode useful, and go and check out other recession-relevant content. And next week, I want to do something a bit more special, right? Because I think a lot of people are thinking about this, right? So next week, we're going to talk about this whole idea of like, if today I start investing with 100,000, how will I do it, right? And I will come from a perspective of what most people can do rather than a select group of people that will spend a lot of time to go and dig deep and research and all that jazz, right? So next week, I will share my thoughts around if I had 100,000 and I'm going to start investing today, what would I do? So yeah, stay tuned next week. Before the 200th episode, that will be like probably about podcasting. We'll see. Okay, so yeah, thank you for always loving what we do. I'll see you next week.